Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello everyone, this is Carrie again. I hope you've all had a good weekend. And today, we have another Mechtober installment. This time, we'll be taking a look at the Champion. Yes, the Champion. The awkward mech that looks like a plane that has been grafted onto a pair of legs, which you can't tell if it is supposed to be a chicken walker or not, or even if it has knees. Regardless of that, though, it just looks awesome. I mean, like, really cool. At least, I think so. And when I first read through Technical Readout 2750, this odd, funky thing caught my eye and led me down a path of awkward-looking machines. Now, before we do go into it, I want to thank my patrons over on Patreon. Because of the support you all give me, I can do things like this. And if anyone listening would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/unicorncompany and sign up now on the website. So now on to the fun part. The Champion saw its introduction in 2602. It was designed to be, and I quote, a heavy reconnaissance and strike battle mech. This role that the designers envisioned, though, it would seem to be something of a pie in the sky. As even during the Star League era, the Champion was somewhere between the speed of a battle line unit and a scout, as its speed topped out at about 86 kilometers an hour, which realistically puts it in the heavy cavalry category at best. Ultimately, though, the Champion was able to get approval, and it had stiff competition when it was up for that approval. Because not only was the Champion an expensive cavalry mech that had heat problems and no discernible lower legs, it was in competition for the bid proposal for the SLDF against the Griffin. Now, Technical Readout 2750 gives a designation of the GRF-3N as its competitor, but seeing as how the 3N is a very high-end Dark Age design, we know that isn't right. Arguably, though, this failed bid could have become what we now know as the GRF-2N. If you look at these mechs side by side, the 2N is superior in every way. The Champion may be a superior mech to the more standard Griffin or Shadowhawk, even, but once they're equipped with Star League era technology, they easily outperform the Champion. So, how did the Champion get built over what was likely a superior product? Two words, Bergen Industries. The Champion wasn't the first out there looking design that Bergen would build. They also were the company that produced one of the most numerous recon mechs in service to the Star League, the Locust. And with 103 years of connections being built in the procurement departments of the great houses and what had to be mountains of money, Bergen got the contract to build the mech. You know, of course, procurement contracts, they don't come cheap. So even though the Champion was armed with then cutting edge weapons and guidance systems, to save money, Bergen used standard heat sinks and left a K system off the machine altogether to protect it from ammo explosions. So what the SLDF got in 2602 was interesting. The CHP-1N Champion is 60 tons. It is built on a standard structure and powered by a massive Vlar 300 engine. Yes, the same engine as the Marauder. This allows it to achieve speeds of up to 86 kilometers an hour on open ground. Now, the 1N Champion is protected by 8 tons of ferrofibrous armor and cooled by just 10 standard heat sinks. The offensive capabilities aren't bad on paper. It has, as its primary weapon, an LB-10X autocannon. This is backed up by an SRM-6 launcher, which has increased accuracy from an Artemis IV fire control system. In its left torso, it carries two medium lasers with a pair of small lasers in the center torso. The combination of ballistic and energy weapons on the Champion give it an array of options when dealing with enemy units, from direct damage to extreme crit seeking if using cluster rounds for the autocannon. And given it carries 2 tons of ammunition for it, it is capable of doing both during the same engagement. With its lack of a case system for its ammunition, though, and single heat sinks, it is needlessly fragile and hampered by its poor heat dissipation abilities. The 1N has a battle value of 1233. Now, a field refit of the design upgrades it to double heat sinks, and in doing so, increases its performance and gives it, oddly enough, the same battle value. Now, as the need of the Star League Defense Forces evolved, though, so did the Champion. Where it was originally an all-around cavalry mech, the Star League Defense Force Royal units wanted something with more bite. And this is where we get the CHP-1NB. Lowercase b, apparently. It's important. I don't know why. Anyway, the frame of the Champion was rebuilt using endosteel, and all of its weapon systems were removed. These were replaced with a single Gauss rifle and an ERPPC. This model of the Champion turned it from an odd, overweight, medium mech into a long-range hole puncher. A variant on the design was the 1NB2, a design that we don't have a record sheet for, or Alpha Strike cards for that matter, and it removed the ERPPC in favor of a standard one to lighten the heat load on the mech. During the Star League era, given the Champion's unique design, though, attempts were also made to construct the Champion into a land-air mech. Now, they changed the designation on it. It is the CPN-1X1. And this land-air mech idea was done more as a proof of concept than anything else. Bergen had to convert the mech to standard armor and to accommodate the equipment that would let it go from being a bipedal war machine to a fighter, it had to sacrifice much of its armament. It retained its SRM-6 launcher with the Artemis IV and carries a single medium laser in the right torso and a pair of medium lasers in the left torso. It does gain 5 jump jets mounted in its legs and center torso, in addition to having absolutely anemic firepower. The Champion Lamb was found to be very sluggish in the air. Any attempts to change this failed or required the removal of even more weapon systems. What was more alarming, though, was the fact that due to its size, the conversion equipment and leg mimers were wearing excessively, which would have caused a catastrophic failure in flight had they worn beyond a certain point. And the Champion Lamb project was shelved due to this, forever dooming any attempt to create a heavy land air mech at that point. So, getting out of the Star League era, the Champion found itself on the battlefields of the Succession Wars, in the Inner Sphere at least. The technologies that made even the 1N unique began to disappear, and so the Champion was once again forced to adapt. It is not clear if Bergen was still building new machines at this point, or if refurbishing older machines, or if they were refurbishing older machines, but what we got was the CHP-2N. For the most part, the base chassis of the Champion remained, retaining its speed and carrying 8 tons of armor, though standard plate with reduced protection. The weapons loadout is very familiar to anyone acquainted with the 1N. It carries a standard autocannon 10 in the right torso and an SRM-6 launcher in the left. It has 2 left torso-mounted medium lasers and 2 center torso-mounted small lasers. This combination of weapons and equipment puts it squarely into the realm of mechs like the Shadowhawk in this period, and it has a battle value of 1116. Now, where the Inner Sphere had to downgrade their champions due to lack of equipment and materials and such. The clans saw potential in upgrading the design, and in 2867 gave it a complete overhaul, incorporating not only their advanced technology and its construction techniques, but lessons learned from the Champion Land Air mech project. The mech was overhauled with a standard clan frame that incorporates case. The mech was then given more open weight through the use of an advanced extra light engine. This allowed the clan engineers to mount jump jets in both legs and the center torso, increasing its mobility. With the increased mobility, the next thing to upgrade was cooling and weapons. The Champion C is equipped with 10 double heat sinks and is extremely well armed for its speed and size. Has a clan LB-10X autocannon as its primary weapon with 2 tons of ammunition. It also has a clan spec SRM-6 with Artemis 4. Its laser array has been updated, with the small lasers being upgraded to small pulse lasers with one mounted in the head to accommodate one of the jump jets in the center torso. That's a lot up for one sentence, right? Anyway, the 2 left torso medium lasers have been similarly replaced with medium pulse lasers, and an additional ER medium laser has been added to each arm, which can be flipped to defend against attacks from the rear. This, in fairness, is what I feel is the final evolution of the old 1N Champion as built by the descendants of the Star League, and incorporating everything learned along the way. Now, ironically, when the clans had rearmed and rebuilt their champions out of need for battle mechs, Comstar would upgrade their aging champions to combat the clans at Tukia. Comstar had a stockpile of vintage Star League Defense Force champions from when parts of the Star League Defense Force had stayed behind when Kerensky left the Exodus. When these units once again were forced to enter service, they would be modified to face what their cousins had become. In order to face the clan threat, Comstar upgraded any 1N models that hadn't been refitted with double heat sinks to that standard. As part of this process, they removed the standard Vlar 300 engine and installed an extra light engine in place of it. They then removed half a ton of the mech's already light armor and installed a single large laser in each of the champion's arms. Yes, you heard me right. They created space that could have been used to perhaps refit the LBX with an autocannon 20 or add more heat-efficient weapons like a Gauss rifle, and instead chose to make a pilot cooker in hopes of somehow outgunning the clans. I can understand they were desperate. And Terra was on the line. I really think, though, that this was a step down from the 1N2, and that the 3N is a wild attempt to throw anything they can at the clans under the guise of it being a quote-unquote clan buster. Now, the newest production model of the Champion is the 3P. This mech would see service with both Comstar and the Word of Blake. The mech is based on concepts of electronic warfare, specifically being one of the units to showcase the new improved NARC missile beacon, or iNARC, as well as the improved C3 computer system. The iNARC launcher is an advanced unit of the NARC launcher, which would guide missiles onto the target and use advanced pods that could do anything from track missiles to it, explode, or interfere with the onboard electronics of the unit it had become attached to. The improved C3 system, or C3I, was an advancement of the C3 system that the Draconis Combine had developed. The older system would link 3 slave computers in different units to a master computer in another unit, and all of these would share targeting data. C3I decentralized this by allowing up to 6 independent computers to communicate with each other at the same time. This makes the network far harder to disrupt with an ECM suite, as it doesn't rely on a single master computer to share the targeting data between all the other units. The 3P uses a weight-saving extra light engine, and as its primary weapon, carries an Ultra Autocannon 10 in its right torso. It also has backup weapons, In this case, four arm-mounted ER medium lasers with two mounted in each arm. The 3PS, 2 tons of INARC ammunition, as well as 3 tons of ammunition for its Ultra Auto Cannon 10, and all of the ammunition is protected with a case system in its left torso. Now, while this won't stop the mech from being disabled in an ammunition explosion, it will prevent an explosion from coring out the mech, and possibly killing the pilot, as well as making it salvageable after a battle. So, what are my thoughts on the Champion in the area of classic battle tech? First, the Champion is something that just doesn't work as envisioned by the SLDF. The Royal variant is a wonderful sniper, though, and pairs very well with mechs like the Osprey. The detuned version from the Succession Wars is decent in a role similar to a Shadowhawk or Griffin, though less preferable, and its inner spear upgrades are either a problem waiting to happen or a relatively deadly technology demonstrator. Finally, the clan refit of the design turns it into a true cavalry mech that can hit hard, move well, and take a beating, though it took all the technological advancement of the clans to make that happen. So, that's my thoughts on it as far as Battletech. But let's look at the Champion as a unit in Alpha Strike. All right, so just to let you know, I have not written the script for this part. I thought I had, but I hadn't. So we're going to be winging this, kind of like the old days, two seasons ago? So let's rock. All right, so the CHP-1N is the first of the mechs we're going to be looking at. It's a battle mech, size 3, TMM2, movement of 10, skirmisher, has 34 points. So for this 34 points, you get short and medium of 3, long of 1. It does not have an overheat, and it has 5 armor, 5 structure, with a flak of 111. For the Succession Wars, this is a great unit. Unfortunately, Starleague Aeromech. So it's not that great when you consider it's lacking case. Overall, I mean, decent trooper, but case would be very welcome in this design because one ammo hit in Alpha Strike and this thing is gone, even though it has 5 structure. Next, we have the 1N2. Almost identical stat line-wise, battle mech, size 3, TMM2, movement of 10, skirmisher, has 1 more point at 35. For that 1 point, you're gaining 1 at short range. Everything else is the same. It has a medium of 3, long of 1, no overheat, 5 armor, 5 structure, and once again, flak 111. Once again, wonderful trooper mech in the right price range in the Succession Wars era. In the Star League era, that lack of case, it makes you not want to mess with it that much. So then we're going to look at the 1NB, the Royal Champion. Now, this one, once again, it doesn't have case. We're just going to say that right now. Most of these don't. But it's a battle mech, size 3, TMM of 2, movement of 10. This one goes up by another point to 36. It is a sniper, and it has short, medium, and long of 3, like the pure trooper mech line. No overheat, armor 5, structure 5, no specials whatsoever. So, once again, straight up trooper type mech. And this thing runs in the range of a Shadowhawk or a Griffin, stat-wise, basically. Overall, not super impressive. I like the design, but why is it the designs I like aesthetically are always like this? Then we get the 2N. Okay, so the 2N, ironically enough, is a better and worse, I don't know how else to put that, version of the Champion. 30 points. Battle mech, size 3, TMM2, movement of 10, still a skirmisher. Once again, you're getting Shadowhawk-style firepower. It's a 330 in this case, though. Does not have any long-range capabilities, also doesn't have an overheat. For the Succession Wars era, I think this is, because the other two wouldn't be available, or the other three wouldn't be available in this era. Succession Wars era, the armor is decent for a medium mech. Armor 4, structure 5. No specials again. So, you know, a little anemic there, but as a trooper, I mean, it's perfectly priced and it would work fine. Then we get the 3N. Oh, this is one of the, I think this is the Clan Buster. So it's interesting. The 3N comes in at 34 points. It's a battle mech, size 3, team M2, movement of 10, skirmisher once again. It seems to be where this thing likes to live. It is a little bit better in some ways and worse in others. So your damage goes up. You're at a 4-4 and you have a long of 1. You do get an overheat of 1. So you can push this thing into clan mech territory with the short and medium output, at least for the 3050s. The problem is you're running 4 armor and 3 structure. At this point, it may as well be a 50-tonner or 55-tonner. You do have the special of flak of 111, but I really don't feel like that makes up for the weaknesses that you're trading for. It's a less Blackhawk, even though it's not trying to imitate the Blackhawk. But, yeah. Then we have the 3P. This is the highly advanced electronics warfare version of the champion that the Word of Blake and Comstar used after the clan invasion had sort of died down, and we go into the Blakist era and the Fedcom Civil War, then the Blakist era. Now, this mech, it's battle mech, size 3, TMM of 2, 10-inch movement, skirmisher, comes in at a whopping 40 points. Has damage values of 3, 3, 2 with an overheat of 1, 6 armor, 3 structure. Part of the reason for that high price tag is the C3I. Alpha Strike assumes that you always are connected to a C3 network or a C3I network. So if you're bringing units that have C3 or C3I, make sure that you use that ability, that you have multiple units where you can connect them. C3I is far easier to work with, but it is an exclusively Comstar and Word of Blake toy. I mean, checking the availability on this, I assume the Republic might have... No. Nope. Okay, so I take that back. Everybody, like, when this thing died off, essentially said, fuck it. Like, it was, yeah, no, nobody wanted it. Nobody kept it around. The 1X1 Lamb, the Land Air Mech, does not have Alpha Strike stats, and I did not have time to pop those into a system to see if I could even kind of make it, but it's really useless because it doesn't even work anyway, and it would be anemic. And then finally, we have the Champion C. Now, where the 3P was a 40-pointer, because of high-end technology and yada, 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 you know, it was an advanced Comstar Word of Blake design, and it's always assumed to hook to a network. The Champion C is also 40 points, but for much different reasons. It is a battle mech, size 3, target movement modifier of 2, has movement of 10 jump, is also a skirmisher. It does 4 at short and medium, 1 at long, and has an overheat of 2. It has 6 armor, 3 structure, and specials of case, flak 111, and that's it. This one right here, this version of the champion, this is what the Star League would have ended up with had their technology kept progressing. This is a terrifying little monster in standard battle tech. In Alpha Strike, not so much, but it's like a poor man's Blackhawk. It can jump 10. It can do up to 6 damage at short and medium. It can even do anti-aircraft duty. So, you know, that's the Champion C. And that's all of the champions. Now, Overall, in Alpha Strike, the champion is a wonderful, and I mean wonderful, cavalry mech. It's a trooper. It moves fast enough to flank. It has enough firepower to not be ignored. But some of the variants really throw away what's good with the champion in favor of just trying to make it hit harder. Even the clan version does that to some degree, but it is saved by the fact that it has case, it can jump, so you can overheat too, hit really hard, jump and hide for a turn, cool off, then jump back into the action and shoot somebody again. None of the other champions have that kind of mobility, nor do they have that kind of heat, you know, that heat spiking ability. I think one of them has one heat, but yeah. So that is it for the champion. Overall, it's a weird mech. It looks really weird. It moves really weird. It is really weird. Some of them jump, some of them don't. Some of them can turn into airplanes, or at least try to. But, yeah, overall, it's one of my favorites, and it's one of the ones that y'all were going to hear about this month. So, looking right now, I have to check. We have two more weekends in October. We have the weekend of the 21st and the weekend of the 28th. You will be getting episodes on each of those, and, of course, on the 31st, you'll be getting one additional. So I hope that you all have had a good time listening to me today. Like I said, if you want to support the podcast, please go check out Patreon. It's patreon.com/unicorncompany. Also, check out my sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. You can find them at fortressminiaturesandgames.com. Bobby, the guy that runs it, is an awesome guy. They carry a ton of Battletech products. I believe they just got a restock of the Alpha Strike Commander's Edition in. And they're also the store that runs the Southern Assault Tournament Series, which will be happening again in November. So hopefully this year I can do better at covering that. I admit I'm not the best at covering things like that. So anyway, until next time, y'all have a great day, great evening, great whatever it is where you are. This is Carrie, signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change. I wanna play the game. You wanna sink or swim? I'm gonna